The Electric Vehicle Podcast, hosted by Theo Gibson. This podcast could not be brought to you without the help of our generous sponsors. Thanks to our gold sponsor, OEM Audio, leading supplier of charging cables and accessories in New Zealand. Hello and welcome to the Electric Vehicle Podcast. My name is Theo Gibson. Sorry, it's been a wee while since I last put out an episode, but it's been really busy. Today on the show, I'm chatting with, I'm going to call you a regular now, Jeff, a regular podcast contributor, Jeff Eichen, who is an Energica electric bike rider. And every time we talk to Jeff, he's been traveling around our beautiful country. Maybe you could just give us a little bit of info about yourself, Jeff, for those of you who have not heard him before, heard you on the show before. Who are you?
Good day, I'm here for Kia Koto Katoa, Rangora Mai, called Jeff Munupanga Aiken Toko Ingwa, no Canada, me America, me Norway, Okutupuna, Engari, Enoho Anaki Pangarei. For those who don't understand all that, my name is Jeff Munupanga Aiken. Originally from Canada and Norway. I've been staying here since I was a teenager, so this is home. And I appreciate everyone listening in. And I ride an Energica electric bike at the moment, but I've been on several electric bikes beforehand and always keen to promote EVs, particularly two-wheeled ones.
Awesome. And the last time we spoke to you, where had you driven? You had just done the 1,000-kilometer challenge, hadn't you?
That is correct. Oh, and to elaborate on that, that's just riding 1,000 kilometers in Aotearoa in a day, which isn't easy on a regular bike, but it's a whole nother challenge when you've got to make multiple charge stops, make sure nobody's at the charge stops, and try and get it done in daylight.
And roadworks.
And roadworks, exactly. There were a lot of those too, exactly.
So what have you been up to?
Yes, well, I thought I'd share that... It's summer, and we've had a particularly good riding summer for those of you who are getting out on the roads. I guess that means road tripping as well. One of the things I wanted to do, and I was planning on doing, was heading to the South Island. So I wanted to head down, or up, depending on how you see the country. I wanted to head there on the electric bike, on the Energica, get some touring miles in, and share the bike with some people. So I hastily, and when I say hastily, I mean hastily, in a week, put together a plan, and I got some sponsors together and Shiny Side Up together, and we were rolling. So February is always a really, really busy time for me, usually because when I'm not on the electric bike, I'm on the manual powered waka, the traditional wakas. And so when we have Waitangi, it's quite busy. So I literally left from Waitangi and with a wedding to happen on the same day in the evening, and then carried on, and that's how I started my trip. So it was nonstop from the beginning, and I headed south. So I was fortunate enough once again to get some great sponsorship and support from a couple of different companies, and I'll be naming them a couple of times, including now. So Motorcycle Lab in Whangarei, they're amazing. They've been really supportive of all my trips, and they actually do really good work in the shop. So if anyone's in Northern region, must stop in. They've got good selection, all that sort of stuff. It really is about their service and their commitment to people. And, you know, they know that this is the future. You know, they're looking at it going, they've seen all the bikes I've ridden. So they're just like, it's just getting better and better. But then also I had support from NZ Motorcycle Movers, and they were happy to be on the team and willing to offer some movement anywhere from A to B. And I actually bumped into a few people who were asking about, you know, how if I wanted to get something around the country, and I was running at a time, and it was great because I was like, hey, and the motorcycle movers, they're great. And they were great, actually. They've been nice. Really good. And then, of course, Shiny Side Up. So the Shiny Side Up, for people that don't know, is a sponsored. They've got sponsorships from ACC and Ride Forever and a few other sort of government-initiated programs for safer motorcycling and that sort of such. But they run, I think since 2016, they've been running events, some talking events and then some full events, which are talking, displays, some demos and things like that. Cool. Really amazing events. and they asked me to come along and participate at a bunch of them and give some talks and share a little bit about the bike and, you know, park it up on display, et cetera, et cetera. So
Wow. All
of that happened in about a week, which is usually how things go for me. They work well, but they happen quickly. And I was off. So, yeah, that was the beginning of the trip anyways.
Wow. So, Shinyside Up. So is that mainly in the South Island or is that both islands?
So I hope I said Shinyside Up and not Sunnyside Up. But yeah, Shinyside Up. It's very easy to say the other one. But
yeah.
Depending on how you have your eggs. they're actually in both islands. They were originally started in Kapiti. So that's like
Wow. Where
they're like their base. But they're all over the country. So like the website, there are still some events that are going to happen. But as you'll hear in this this epic tale of adventure and drama, there were some hiccups. But yeah, they have them all over the country, and there still are a few coming up, including one in Kapiti, I think, in early March or sometime in March. But you can check the website or search Shinyside Up and Bike Fest. That's the other thing that they call it, the main event.
Yeah, yeah. And what qualifies someone as a speaker at one of these events? Is it kind of like racing, bike racing, you know, is it kind of extreme kind of events? Where do the speakers kind of come from?
Well, this is something that, like, for two-wheeled enthusiasts, I actually think this is a pretty amazing event because, one, it's free, which is always good.
Yeah.
Everyone likes free.
Wow.
But the other thing is that it's very well organized. There's lots of different activities. There's even, like activities and games for the kids. Like, there's food carts.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff. But particularly, it's for everyone. So there's races. There's classic bike builders. There's...
Wow.
There's new technology, there's safety stuff, there's so much going on that there's something in it for everyone who rides two-wheel bikes.
Cool. And someone who's got an interest in it, even if they don't ride, right?
Yeah.
You know, they can just go along
Absolutely.
And find out a whole ton. Wow,
Absolutely.
That's cool.
I mean, they even had live music at the main event. So, you know,
Nice.
If you're not interested, you just come down to the parks or wherever they're holding them and, you know, have some live music and a feed and look at some shiny, cool-looking bikes and learn a little bit and get some freebies and giveaways and all that sort of stuff.
So so tell us about your adventure. How did it start?
Yeah, so the adventure itself was pretty hectic from Woe to Go and then back to Woe again. and so my situation was that I was pretty much dictated by where these events were. So I had a speaking engagement in Wanaka. And that was brief and small, but the main event was also in Nelson in Whakatū. So for me to get to that event, it was on the 14th of February. And for those who don't know Waitangi being on the 6th, essentially I started on the 7th. So I had a week to cruise around a bit, get to Wanaka and then get back up to Nelson. The timing was a little bit limited. So what ended up happening was I did several 500 kilometer days on the electric bike.
Wow.
So they are busy days. But after, you just get all sorts of weather. Like summer in the South Island when you're riding on a motorcycle means a bit of everything. So, and of course, the other thing is that I did want to check out some of my favorite places that I like to go, but also check out a couple of new places. My first stop after riding pretty much nonstop across the North Island was in Pōneke in Wellington. And of course, I caught up with Sam, who's New Zealand and has the other Energica in the country. I got to reunite with my old electric bike, the Zero SR, because a friend Simon there has that one. And we went for a bit of riding. We also caught up with our other mate who's got a Zero, but unfortunately he's waiting on a part. So very, very exciting to go on a ride with other electric bikes. And so we did a nice little loop up Paikakariki Lookout and over Moonshine Road, which is a nice twisty road in the south there, and took them out to Midnight. They'd never been there before. God knows why they've never been to Midnight Espresso in Wellington. Everyone should go. It's amazing.
Classic.
Cuba Street. Plug for them too, even though they're not a sponsor, but they've been there for 30 years. Amazing. Anyway, so that was the first stop. And then stayed with one of those guys overnight to catch an early morning ferry, because obviously if you only got a week, you want to maximize your time in the South Island, because I live in the North.
What time is the early morning ferry? Is it like a 7 o'clock or something? I can't remember.
Oh,
it's been
I wish
so long.
It was at 7 o'clock. I was at the ferry terminal at about 5:30, 5:45 for a 6:30 departure.
That's right. I remember it being hideous. Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's hideous unless you're looking to ride, because you don't really miss out on your ride day much. Like, I arrived at 9:30 in Picton to stunning weather, and it was like, off we go. Perfect.
Yeah.
So the way I decided to go was, of course, Queen Charlotte Drive, which is a beautiful little 30K stretch between, windy stretch between Picton and Havelock. And then doing what I probably shouldn't have done, because I like going on roads that aren't really good roads anyway, and some, you know, and basically gravel, is I took the bike to Almaty, which is French Pass. So for those who don't know French Pass, it's pretty much the extent of the road heading over towards Derville Island. So you get to the Rye Valley heading towards Nelson, but then you take a hard right and you just keep going till the road runs out and the gravel starts. And so I took my, you know, this very not a dirt bike onto the dirt and the gravel, but it was fine. You know, and
that's good.
Hung out at the campsite and had a great little relax and rest there. And then the big miles began. So that first day was, you know, only short distance kilometer wise, but the next day and every other day after that. And I needed the break because I had just done, I don't know, 700 kilometers in the day on the 7th to catch my ferry and a late night with the boys. So, yeah.
Wow.
So let's carry on, because this is where the drama starts. beautiful day heading into Te Aumiti. It's an amazing spot if anyone cares to check it out. Fastest running water and seawater in Aotearoa. So it's got a current through the... Yeah, you got a current going through the pass at about 9 knots. So, it's pretty quick and pretty treacherous unless you've got big honking motors on the back. One day you'll be electric. Anyways, coming back out of Te Aumiti, I stopped in the Nelson to visit a friend really quickly for a cup of tea, but I had to make the distance, right? So
yeah,
we looked at the weather and I was thinking about West Coast, and it was not only the wet coast, but it was heavy weather warnings for the wet coast. So I was like, I'm going to go over the Lewis and cut back over to the east side. And so I left there. And one of the things you don't really think about is, well, you should probably plan for, but I didn't, is the distance between charges and where they send you. So as I was looking at that from Nelson, I was like, okay. Well, I can't actually do the shortcut over the Lewis Pass unless I'm in Reefton. And even then, the next charger going east from Reefton is Culverton for DC fast chargers. And I was like, that's like 130 something Ks. That's right on the limit of my range. Plus you got the Lewis Park. So I was like, so I was a little bit like, how am I going to do this? But then I didn't even have to, because drama. I had to turn from Murchison towards the west coast, wet coast, and the rain started. No big deal, except that my waterproof, quote unquote, waterproof phone that was sitting on my bike decided to stop working. So, and so for those that don't know, generally people who are on road trips or whatever are using their phones for things like plug share, where is the next charger, let alone taking photos and keeping in contact with people and organizing your life while you're on the road. So, bugger, I was at the turn to go left towards Reefton or right towards Westport, and I thought, there are no places I can buy a burner phone or have it looked at or whatever in Reefton. So I kept going to the wet coast, straight into the heavy weather warning. Now, the bike did amazing. I'll have to say right off the bat, bike was amazing. Oh, I should mention as well, I actually had at the moment it's not yet a legal plate, but I had like a little professional plate on the back of the bike fell off. I had my actual plate too, because I was going to go and, you know, show it to people. So if anyone sees a Aotearoa 100%, plates around with a plate in it on the west coast, probably between Westport and Greymouth, hit me up on the website. But anyways, straight into the rain, got a burner phone in Westport and carried on, and lots of heavy rain to Greymouth. And by this stage it was nighttime, because, you know, I had stopped and I had issues to try and get, I waited an hour to get the phone to work because it was just a little cheapy phone.
Does the heavy weather affect your range as well? Must do, eh?
Well, it does. I mean, you got road surface tension and friction and all that sort of stuff, so it's going to. But it was dramatic, because I was thinking, how am I going to find charges? How am I going to get in touch with people? I have to buy a whole new phone. Like, it's just one of those things where, you know, it shouldn't happen, but it did.
Yeah, it always does.
Now, in addition to a burner phone, I also bought a bag of rice, because I thought, why the hell not? And when I got to Greymouth and thought, I'm gassed, it's getting dark. Just to be safe, I'm not going over the pass. I was thinking of going over Arthur's Pass and then getting over on the other side to carry on and stay over with a friend there. But you got to think safety, that sort of stuff. I got to make it to these events. So I parked up in Greymouth, woke up the next morning to what was supposed to be heavy weather. It was sunny, but the heavy weather came really quickly. And I carried on over the pass straight into 90 millimeters just in the morning in Arthur's Pass.
Wow.
So probably the heaviest rain I've ridden in ever.
Wow.
And I kept both the phone and the rice and the new phone in my pockets and just knew what I had to do to get to Arthur's Pass for the charger. But luckily when I was there, getting shelter in the dock ranger sort of information center, the lovely lady was nice enough to point out that on her computer that just over the pass, it was beautiful and sunny. So I was like, get me there.
Classic.
Get me there. Yes. Yeah, So that's what I did. Buckled up and, you know, sort of cowboyed up, as we say, went straight back out, already wet, into the heavy wet, and got over the pass into sunshine. And it was glorious, like glorious, glorious sunshine. And from there, the weather was pretty good for the rest of the trip, too. So I carried on. Getting to the charges was a little bit tricky once you got over the pass because I didn't have my phone working. So about later on in the afternoon, I checked my phone, and lo and behold, it was revived. I brought it back from the dead and the rise. Hallelujah. And
it
put
does
it on
work.
In the sunshine. Oh, it was so great. It was like I did a little dance. It was brilliant. it was a little wiggle on the bike and then a little dance when I, you know, charged it up and could find the charge stations again and all that good stuff. But that was a long day because now that I had sunshine and I had everything working again, I carried on all the way through the Lakes District and all the way to Wanaka. So that was Greymouth to Wanaka via the long way, which is over the Arthur's Pass. So that was, I don't know what, day three or something like that. Day four, there was a bit of a talk. It was great. Got a few people together that were planning to come together in a hall and hear a little bit about the bike, and a lot of them came out to see it. So that was really cool. It wasn't a whole lot of people, but it wasn't a big event. So it wasn't billed as a big event. But lots of questions, lots of talk about the bike and where the future is and where we've come from and all that good stuff. But, you know, people come to these things and they're already interested. So it's really nice to have a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
But, hey, I didn't have time to wait, so I didn't stick around. Politely declined some offers of lunch, et cetera, and then carried on to all my favorite little roads around there. And there are some great ones in Queenstown Lakes, of course. You can ride around Hawia. You can go through, you go past Cadrona and get to Queenstown. And then pretty much every road leaving or departing or getting to Queenstown is amazing. So, you know, probably the best one or the best known and one of my favorites is riding out to Glenorchy and a little bit further to Paradise. And doing that there and back is just stunning on a good day.
I haven't done that for so long. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, mate. I mean, and just like when you're on two wheels, you're hanging out for like nicely built up corners, good scenery, good camber, and it's just got it all, you know? So,
yeah.
And the other thing is that if you want to ride a little bit spirited, but also, you know, safely, just go early or late, you know? So I went early, you know, it was really good.
Yeah.
Sorry, that one was late because I was already in Wanaka in the morning. So that one was a late ride, but still light because, you know, late summer light. Had a brilliant time there and then cruised off towards Alexandra, riding that beautiful road as well. Of course, having come down off the Cadrona Pass and all that sort of stuff. So just a brilliant day riding. I probably did about maybe 550 Ks on that day. Next day, headed back north, riding through the lakes again. Perfectly. Oh, I should say, though, that like at this point, I did have some plans. They were loose plans, but I did have some plans and some people who wanted to see me at the Burt Monroe. I was I was pretty keen to get there, and I'm sure a lot of people would have liked to have seen the bike, but the Burt Monroe weren't the ones that were sponsoring me, and Shiny Side Up was, and I maybe would have had a chance to basically put my foot down at Ōrite Beach and then turn around and ride straight back north. So
yeah,
I pulled the pin, but the result of pulling the pin was just great riding everywhere, so I really enjoyed doing all that around all those great places. Got to a friend who's just south of Ōtautahi in Christchurch, spent a day riding a little bit with him, and then also visited the old haunt of Akaroa, because again, brilliant riding in Akaroa, and it's all just a whirlwind trip to try and get to Nelson at the right day. So So yes. That was the 12th. And then the 13th was from Akaroa, basically Le Bon's Bay, if anyone knows it. Beautiful little beach that I camped out at, heading from there all the way to Nelson. So another big long day to have a little bit of a rest. And then the 14th was Shiny Side Up.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a whirlwind tour, but it was a really good one, with good weather after the heavy weather warnings that I rode right into. And then we had Shiny Side Up, which was really great. Like, you know, people that I knew who are living in the area came to say hello. People I'd never met before, people I'd met on the road that were nearby came to the event because they met me on the road at a charger, and that was really cool. A lot of female riders, which is really neat to see as well.
Yeah.
And the event was awesome. I did a 30-minute spot. I was supposed to do a 30-minute speaking spot, and as you can tell by me going on now, that went to 30 minutes and then 20 minutes more of answering questions because people were super curious and wanted answers for everything. So shared all this information about where we started, where we are, and where we're going. People asking about when they can get one, all that sort of good stuff.
Yeah, and you must be getting some pretty standard questions now, eh? All the obvious ones.
You get the stock standard, and you have to. I mean, not only do you expect them, but you have to give them a stock standard sort of generic answer as well. Because the first answer is like, well, the first thing they say is the first one I've ever seen of those, because no one in Aotearoa has really seen traveling electric motorcycles. Like, there's a few commuters around and lots of zeros that are commuting. I think we got about 18 or something like that, or maybe probably 20 with the two Energicas that are registered, but most of them are commuters. So, and none of them fast charge, DC fast charge, except for Aotearoa, my bike, and the one that Sam's got. So
yeah,
yet, you know, they're coming, but you know, it's just like the cars, it takes a little bit of while. And these are, I suppose, more toys and less practical. Well, some would say. I think they're fully practical, but, you know, than a car, so it might take a little bit longer. But they are coming. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So the event was awesome. Organized really, really well. Jamie and the crew put a great event together. Lots of information, lots of sharing. And I was really looking forward to the next few events because I was scheduled to talk in Hamilton or go to the main one in Auckland, and then there was another one happening in Kirikiri. So, you know, I was really excited about these, and I was, you know, yeah, looking forward to it. And I left the event to go back to Christchurch because I had organized with NZ Motorcycle Movers to ship the bike from Christchurch. So it was a bit of backing and forthing. That's another 500 kilometers, something like that.
Wow.
It's just how it goes. But when you're doing emissions-free travel, it's fun when the weather's good and you're enjoying it. And it gave me an opportunity to see some other friends in Christchurch and stay a little bit longer and visit with them and do a bit of a road trip back with another friend. So it all worked out really well until I did have another drama with the bike this time. Now, I'm not 100% sure how the listeners know about all the safety protocols that happen for DC fast charging because of the high voltage, but I have on my bike, I have a mechanism. It's a little actuator with a lever, and what it does is it just automatically actuates and flips the lever and hits a pin, which locks the charging cables in place so that the initialization and the handshake says, okay, this is safe. And it charges, and then when it's done, it unlocks it. Now, this is a tiny little module. You can fit it in the palm of your hand, and it decided to stop working.
So, no!
Yeah. So, now, that is the big drama, but as I often do, I must be feline or related to cats, because I always land on my feet. and I have all these extra lives, it seems. But that happened, like, maybe a few days before the end of the trip, but I was able to, within 30 seconds, you know, just pull off a side panel of the bike. I just took out the screws and it stayed on, and I could just pull it out, manually flip the lever up with my finger, and then manually carefully bring it back down at the end of the charge so I could keep going. So that was great. And I was just like, all right, well, I'll just, you know, order the part. It'll be a warranty part. And it's a little bit annoying, but, you know, it's literally an extra 30 seconds on each charge stop. So it really mattered not at all. And I was grateful that I, you know, had an.
It was something you could do.
That I could do something. So I was like, sweet.
You service that bike, right? Because you know, one of only two in the country. So you've kind of had to.
I have to do all. I mean, there's not a lot of servicing to it, but, you know, hey, things break on all bikes, and this is not an Energica part. This is just a little aftermarket thing that, you know, sometimes things don't go right, and, you know, without pulling the whole thing apart, you get some, you know, parts that are defective. And I mean, there's not a lot of moving parts on a bike, but there's a little tiny one that's pretty essential if you want a DC fast charge. Now, when that happens, you can still slow charge. But damned if I was going to be stomping everywhere for 6 or 7 hours, and I didn't have my level 2 charge cable with me, so, you know, my 3.3 kilowatts, which isn't that much faster, I wasn't going to do that either. So I was manipulating this for about 2 days, and on the very last day, wouldn't you know it, because it's a little plastic lever, guess what broke?
No.
So the lever broke, and now I definitely cannot fast charge. So thankfully, it was on the last day. I had an overnight charge, and my last stop was before getting to Christchurch, because that was the end point for me, was in Maroola Springs. So I had a celebratory overnight stay there with nice soaks in the hot springs. And the people there were really nice. They gave me a charge and all that sort of stuff, and they gave me internet because there's like satellite in the middle of nowhere in Lewis Pass.
But, I think I saw the photos, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I needed it because I was trying to organize, hey, can you get this part sent to me so that by the time I get home in Whanganui, the part will be there, et cetera, or getting close to being there. And so I only had the last day. I had to do one slow charge. I hung out in Culverton on the other side of the Lewis Pass. The weather was fine. It was quite cold in the morning, a little bit rainy to get there, but it was all right. Nothing like the other weather. Sat down in the Culverton pub, lovely people there. Had a feed, a couple of warm drinks. Bike was being charged across the road at the plumbers across the road. So go and check them out. They were lovely. And carried on to Christchurch, and I beat the delivery guy by about an hour. So
wow,
that was it. Like, you know, like that's ups epic. And downs and drama and adventure. But that's what happens when you do these trips. Oh, and the part that was the biggest dramatic part of all is that after the shiny side up in Nelson, as I was heading back to Christchurch, boom, COVID again in Tamaki Makaurau in Auckland, and shiny side up cancels most of their shows.
Wow.
Yeah. So here I am all excited to do these other shows, and they canceled them. So I understand it, and I appreciate they canceled it early for safety, but man, like, we could have done them.
Yeah.
But hindsight, you know, hindsight's 20.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and so in the end, big disappointment, but you got to keep people safe. So I applaud them for making the tough call. Yeah, next year's shiny side up. Other events are going to happen throughout the year. But yeah, and then I was like, all right, well, I don't have to race home and we can cruise back, and I don't have to be in Auckland for the other show. So I just cruisily made it back to home and actually picked up the bike today. So
Nice. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, as an early adopter of an electric bikes, you know, it's people like you who kind of are doing all this field testing, right? I mean,
most definitely. Yep. And Sam, you know, too. But like, what we need to do is we are also testing, like, what are the things that are going to happen if they do happen with these bikes? Another one is like, people have been getting some lens, like light failures. But the amazing thing about these bikes is if you get a light failure in your car or in a, you know, just a regular bike or something like that, the fuse or the bulb goes or something, and it just stops working, and that's that. And you got to deal with it or put in a new bulb. These things. They're so smart. They tell you, hey, there's a fault happening with your light. So what we're going to do is we're going to put on some emergency lighting so you don't lose your lighting, and just get to it when you can. So I had that when I did a wash on my bike, you know, just like I was just giving it a sponge bath, basically.
Yeah.
And so it did that. I never lost lighting, and then it dried out and then it worked again. But like, we're learning these things because, like you say, we're early adopters, and, you know, these things happen to us first. And this little switch is going to be something. So
yeah. How does it give you extra light? What does it put on to give you extra light if you've...
So what it does is it manages to run, because you got high beams and low beams, right? So it manages to run the high beams, but at somehow a lower water... dips them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about, I think it's 1 million kilometers of code in each bike. So when you think about the amount of like telemetry and information that's packeted into these motorcycles, it doesn't surprise you then. But everything is really, really... You know, it's giving you information. You can go into the screen, and the little light flashes where you've got a fault. They tell you what the code is. You can look that up in your manual. But essentially, it also gives you a little reading on the display that you can read that says, we're going to do this. Like, you know,
yeah.
in a shorter phrase, but intermittent light fault, switching to auxiliary or whatever it said, and then you still have light, so super safe. Especially if something like that would happen at rain in the night or something like that.
Yeah.
So just incredible sort of technology, yeah.
Wow. Interesting that you had the pin fault on the locking mechanism, because that's actually quite a common fault across EVs. You know, I often read about, brand new cars coming out with a system that locks in the DC fast charger, and it's quite a common occurrence.
Yeah, it's not uncommon, but maybe it's the whole, it's an actuator that, regularly locks, unlocks. And mine was, on a servo. So even when I was manipulating it with my finger and you had to get right underneath the seat, like you couldn't even see it. It was underneath the seat, so it didn't matter. But you could feel that there was a lot of resistance on it because it's on the servo. It's on this motor. So, even with carefully doing it, in the end, it took, probably about six flips either way, and it was like, I'm done. I'm gonna break now, because it's just a little plastic lever, right? And as soon as flips,
right,
it's like, as soon as that goes, it's not going to push the pin in and out, and you're dead in the water for DC fast charging anyway. So
wow, that's crazy. So, and it also provides a security mechanism, doesn't it, really?
Oh yeah,
in some ways,
I mean, it's totally a safety factor and feature, and I appreciate it, and I understand why they do it. It's just one of those things where, it's an extra thing that needs maybe to be a little bit more robust
protected
or something. I don't know. Maybe they'll look at that in the future models, because we're early adopters and they see what's happening with us. Maybe the manufacturer will come up with a better design. I mean, there's lots of different things that can happen. Like, here's something, like, for something like that, why not make a manual override so that you can just sort of push in a lock or pull it out or key it in or key it out, things like that with your master key. I'm all for mechanical stuff as opposed to electronic stuff, even though I'm on an electric bike, but, all redundancy systems, because the last thing you want is, not to be able to fast charge on a long trip. So,
Wow, that's cool.
But the good news is the bike's here, the part's here, and probably later this afternoon, I'll be putting it all back together and we're good as gold again.
Nice. Now tell me,
do you
see any...
It's literally two screws, by the way. It's literally two screws and that's it.
Classic. I love it. Yep. Now, do you see any converted bikes, EV bikes about, or is that not really a thing?
I mean, it's a thing, but I don't see them. Like, I know there's a few. There's a couple in Christchurch, including my very first bike lives in Christchurch. I haven't caught up with it as a reunion yet, but that's still going strong, which is great to hear. There's a couple of others that are, being worked by university teams or, racers who want to have a go and things like that. I think... one of the Harvey brothers, Henry Harvey, he's got his that's been around for quite a while, but, they're early adopters too, but then now there's all this new battery tech and, it's like, I want to put new batteries in, but it's another, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000, depending on what you want to use. So that's the trick, We need like a supporter that's well endowed financially and is happy to keep replacing and upgrading batteries in these custom bikes. But so far we haven't found that person yet. But if you're out there listening, hey, get in touch.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, overseas, they are doing a lot of electric bike racing now, aren't they?
MotoE's been going for a couple of years, and the bikes are just getting... This is the thing. The bikes are getting crazier and crazier. Like, my bike is a 2020. Aotearoa is a 2020, and it's already not obsolete, but it's already an old model and redundant, and there's a newer, better model. And when I say better, the battery is 60% more capacity... And
wow, that's huge.
In the same size. Oh, it's massive. Like, we're talking 220 kilometers at highway speeds, like doing over, 100 to 110 kilometers an hour. And then when you're, mixing that up, you're probably looking at about 280 to 300. And now what people don't realize is that these batteries and these Energicas are the most advanced commercially available electric batteries in the world because, Teslas go further and there's range in a Kona and things like that, but not in a package that's, the
so
size
small.
Of, a chair, or something, not in something so small and compact. So the battery technology in these batteries is incredible, but it needs to be because bikes are compact and, we obviously want to get lighter and lighter bikes. Oh, yeah, the other thing, that same new cell, new packaging of the cells is also 25% lighter. So how do you do that? It's like there's black magic happening in Modena. So I don't know what's going on in Italy, but they're doing some crazy stuff, I don't know. But great to see. So already the 2021 has you know, a 60% bigger battery, 25% lighter. Oh, and just for fun, they decided to give you an extra package where you can shave off a couple of tenths of your 0 to 100. And now the bikes are doing 100 kilometers, 0 to 100 in 2.6 seconds. That's a bike you can go and buy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is very, very cool.
The only thing that compares to that is spending, what is it, like, what is it, $240,000 Kiwi for, yeah, you know, the new Plaid that'll do 1.9. But, you know, if you want to go not too fast really quickly, this is the best way to do it, you know, and the most cost-effective.
Wow, that is very cool. That is very cool. Now, tell me, how long does it, do your tires last on your on a bike like that?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And a big thing is about what tire you choose. And yeah, so the original tires that come with that bike, I mean, I could talk tires with people who know there were also threes. That's the standard tire. Sam is still on his, and he's on about 9,000 Ks, but we ride differently.
Yeah.
Mine were to the cords at 7,000 Ks, probably a little bit before that, actually, so on the rear end, right? So I like to launch, and I like to lean, and I like to go fast when it's safe to do so. So, yeah. But that was a great thing about Motorcycle Labs. They just said, hey, come in, pick out some tires. And so what I've chosen this time is some top-of-the-line Metzlers, and they're a dual-compound tire, and they're heavy bike rated. Not that the bike is the heaviest bike out there. I mean, some bikes are 300 kilos plus, and this one's under that. But it's just, you know, they recommend it, and you just want to try it because maybe it'll last longer. So I've got a Road Tech on the back, and I put a Sport Tech on the front because it matches the Road Tech, but it gives a little bit more sporty handling and grip on the front because I like I like sporty handling, right? So
Totally.
I mean, I rode those this trip was 4,000 kilometers in about a week.
Wow.
So you can do the math on the days that I was riding and the distances, but and I did have 2 days, or one day was a short ride and another day was a short ride. So so basically, let's say, anyways, do the math. It was a lot of riding, but it was a lot of fun. But the tires I've got still have quite a bit of tread depth and life left in them. So I'm hoping for another, I don't know, 4,000 Ks or 5,000 Ks or something like that. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, yeah. And did you total up how many charge stops you did?
I know people would probably want to know that information, but nah. I mean, the thing about what Aotearoa does is I like to set records with the bike. I like to go places and share information about the bike. But I'm not out there to set, like, speed records or, you know, like, because I want to enjoy the riding, you know. I don't want to, it's not endurance testing, even though it sounds like it with those distances, but
it sounds like it.
It sounds like it, but I enjoy that. Like, you know, I'm a person
totally
used to riding long distances. So yeah, I mean, it would have been, oh man, easy 15, something like that. Maybe somewhere between 15 and 20, probably closer to 20. I had to wait for my charge net bill.
Nice. Awesome. Now, Jeff, if people want to know more about what you do, where do they go and how do they get in touch with you if they want to get you to come and speak or show the bike at an event or something like that?
Yeah, well, the best way at this stage still is Aotearoa NZ Electric Bike has a Facebook page. So if you look up E-Aotearoa, so it's like Aotearoa, same spelling, except instead of an A in the front, it's an E. So I'll actually spell that out. E-O-T-E-A-R-O-A. NZ Electric Bike. If that's too hard, look up NZ Electric Bike and it may come up. And there's a way to get in touch with me, and I respond to everyone who asks questions and messages or who posts things like that. But yeah, otherwise, you know, a lot of the events are starting to realize that these bikes exist as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, if you ask an event and they don't know anything about it, mention that there's some bikes that are willing and able and keen to come out and show the bikes off, and they can get in touch with them. They can get in touch as well. So and hopefully we'll just get more and more people sort of saying the same stuff and asking the same questions. How far does it go on a charge, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
When
That's
can I get
cool.
one? Where can I get one? How can I get one? That's what people say.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And are there any new suppliers of these bikes turning up in the country yet that we know of?
So yes. I'm trying to think how to answer that question because there's a little bit of a teaser that I can't say too much about yet because we're still in development, but a new kid on the block, sort of an old new kid, or a new old kid, if you will. There is a company called Suron. They're a Chinese company, but they've been making an electric mountain motorbike. I don't know. It's like a hybrid. It's sort of, it's not a motorbike and it's not a mountain bike. It's something in the middle.
You're right.
And they've been available and they've been, some people have bought them and put them on their farms or as little play toys around tracks or something like that, you know, skate parks.
Yeah.
Or just commuters, you know, and they're great bikes. A lot of good technology in there and relatively inexpensive, which is a big thing for a lot of people because they see this technology and they're not really either able or willing to pay for it yet. And so they've just come out with a full-fledged enduro, either super motard or enduro off-road motorbike, which is amazing because that's my main interest. Like that, I like to ride in the mountains. I can't really do that with the Energica. It's not really the right for it. And the only other thing out there is a Zero FX, which is belt-driven. So it's great to see another bike that is readily available. And there is a company that's out there, Black Sheep Trading. They do a lot of electric scooters and electric bikes, and they've now got that bike in. So with a little bit of work and a little bit of organizing, hopefully we'll be seeing that bike in other places. I did get to test ride it while I was in Christchurch, which was also amazing. And a lot of fun and super addictive. And that's coming from someone who already has an amazing, fun, and super addictive bike. So, so that, like, watch this space. Hopefully more people will get to see that bike performing and also riding around. It's just, you know, it's just coming hard and fast, this technology. So embrace it and try and catch it because it's too much fun to let it go by.
Wow, you need to set yourself up as an electric bike tester where you just basically drive around New Zealand on electric bikes. That would be great.
Well, you know, I mean, it's been done before with Teslas and stuff overseas, but yep, get at me. I'm totally keen and available.
We've got some good roads and
bookings. Please contact Kio Teodoro. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's coming, and as these bikes become more and more, hopefully that will be something where, you know, we can review them and share them with the public. And being a rider, you know, I know what people are after and what their, you know, their misgivings or misinterpretations or hopes are. So I can translate what's coming and what's there for them. So, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Well, that's really cool to hear about your latest adventures. And I can't wait to hear about what happens in the future.
Oh, yeah. It's coming fast. And, I thank you again for the time. On the podcast and for everyone tuning in and listening. Yeah, well, we'll see the future. Well, it's here now. That was actually the title of the talk. But just thanking the sponsors again, Motorcycle Lab, NZ Motorcycle Movers, and the Shining Side Art for putting on a great event. And we'll just keep, you know, the electrons firing and burning and keep electric motorcycling across the country.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for coming on the show. This has been the Electric Vehicle Podcast. My name is Theo Gibson. If you like what I do, please think about supporting the show. You can head over to patreon.com and flick me a couple of bucks, and it always helps. Or you can find me on the socials. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Not that I do those much, but, you know, I'm there. And you can get in touch with me. Or if you want to talk to me on the show, you can get in touch with me via email. It's always a good way. I'm Theo.Gibson@evpodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Cheers.
Thanks, Bye. Theo. Thanks, everyone.
The EV Podcast is proudly brought to you with help from OEM Audio, New Zealand's leading supplier of safe and reliable AC chargers and charging cables. For more information, go to www.evpower.co.nz. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, check us out on evpodcast.com or subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasting content. Thanks for listening.